Episode 10, The Sky's the Limit. The following morning, I head half an hour north to the Fairy Glen. What a peculiar place that is. A landscape I'd never seen before. Small cone-shaped hills with circular ridges are running round them. If you saw a photo of them, you'd swear it'd been photoshopped. It's like a scene from Harry Potter. Places like that really add the giant and fairies myth. I hike around the glen, deep in thought. I'm quite settled in my thinking and happy in myself, but there's one thing that immediately brings sadness and has done for months. The thought of scattering Julie's ashes in New York. The second I think about it, my heart sinks. I know it's only Julie's physical body and that she's happy in heaven, and I also know that's where she wants me to scatter her ashes, but the thought just brings real sadness. Each time I think about it, I have to fight back the tears and control myself. I don't really know why this triggers such a strong emotion. I've been through so much pain since Julie died. Maybe it's because I'm releasing the final physical evidence of her. Maybe it's my comfort blanket. I don't know. I visualise the moment I scatter her ashes in Central Park. I know the exact spot on the east side of the park by one of the boulders, with the view of the Manhattan skyline behind it. I have a photo of Julie in the exact spot when I took her there in 2018. I've learnt not to dwell on sadness for too long. Don't brush it aside, as that would be dismissing it. But don't dwell on it. That's where your emotions spiral out of control and darkness steps in. I'm looking for light, not darkness. I want to turn this tragedy full circle and see where it takes me. Wherever it takes me or whatever happens, I know it's the right thing to do. I have faith in God, faith in my guardian angel, and faith in myself. The clues are there, I just need to open my eyes, find them, then piece them together. I have my family and friends to think about. I'm not having their lives affected worrying about me. I'd hate that so much. Everything I'm trying to do is about positivity. Positivity brings rewards, rewards you wouldn't believe. I remember back in 2006, the kids were 6 and 11. I just started a new business doing commercial work nationwide, and Julie was suddenly diagnosed with a brain tumour and rushed into hospital. Basically, it was a very traumatic period and it couldn't have come at a worse time. I told family who visited Julie in hospital to only talk to her in a positive way. Doom and gloom was not permitted. When Julie came home, she was a completely different person to the one who had left the house 2 weeks earlier. She could barely walk across the room unaided for a couple of weeks, but slowly but surely we built her up. I took her and the kids away from it all to Rannoch in Scotland, a cottage on the loch, in the middle of nowhere, where there was no phone signal, no internet, where you had no choice but to be one with nature. From being totally positive, feeding her well and slowly driving her forward, when we returned to hospital for the first 6 month scan and a consultation with a surgeon, I remember the look on his face as we walked into his office. He looked up from his desk to say hello and then looked a little confused. He then quickly looked down to recheck his notes. He was amazed how she'd recovered, how she looked, walked and acted. He'd rechecked his notes to make sure that it was only 6 months since the operation. He was so impressed that he asked if he could take photos of Julie to show student doctors and any future patients how you could recover. That's what positivity can do when controlled properly. I've slowly gained momentum now and I'm keeping the ball rolling. I know I need to push myself and make the most out of this week. Something else that I'd been doing over the last few months is keeping fit at home. Nothing too heavy, but the one thing I'd concentrated on was really pushing myself on the step machine. Getting my muscles really burning to build up the strength in my legs, ready for whatever lay ahead on this trip. Keeping fit, eating well and feeling good about yourself are an added bonus in life. But when you're in a dark place, they're absolutely essential. The following day I climbed Glamic in the Red Mountains. My fitness was so much better than I thought, and the freedom I felt climbing it on my own without seeing another soul felt like I'd been released from jail. As I climbed and turned to look at the view, I felt the world was all mine. It's only a small mountain, under 800 metres, but steep, really steep, especially as I'd climbed it on an unconventional route. It was a real test for me, but the feeling at the top just invigorated me, which in turn added to my momentum. It showed me that I could be happy on my own, going places and doing things. It gave me time to think, to continue to accept the situation I was in, to think towards the future that lay ahead and continue recovering. Something that I've realised from the start and keep thinking about is how lucky I've been to be able to have this time off work to think and recover, giving myself every opportunity to stand up straight again. I feel for people in my position who have no choice but to go straight back to work, or are forced to just carry on with life as if nothing's happened. It has happened. It's a major turning point in your life, with sadness, confusion and sorrow all thrown into the mix. It needs time to process and accept. I'm a lucky bloke. I'm stood on top of the mountain looking down on nature. I have nothing to feel sorry about. Death is part of life. I know that. I accept that. God wanted Julie back. She was never mine. She was always his. He was just kind enough to loan me her for 29 years, so we could help each other be better people and continue the chain by bringing two amazing children into this world. Children who we are so proud of. Children who gained strength instead of crumbling when heartbreak knocked on their door. And one day, the next generation will enter into this world and will be grandparents, and I will look at that child and see Julie. And on that day, I know there'll be mixed emotions, but I'll also know that Julie will be looking down, smiling. Back at the cottage, I play a song that I stumbled upon a few days before I left for Skye. A song I hadn't heard for such a long time, maybe even since being a child or a young adult. Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell made total sense to me. Total sense regarding the way I felt. The things I'd realised now I was in my new life. Why did I stumble on that song just days before coming to Skye? Skye is a place of mystery to me, full of fairy tale. It's like living on a different planet compared to home. The song seemed to relate to my new life and my time on Skye. A life of reflection and realisation, where nothing seemed real. Where I now looked at things from both sides, where Julie and I were now on two different sides. Joni sings a verse that really strikes a chord. But now old friends, they're acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. How surreal. The song doesn't bring sadness. It just mentally places me in a moving photograph with scenes and scenarios I feel I should be unaccustomed to. But when my subconscious is brought to the forefront, I'm not. It's as if I've been here before. I seem to be starting to really understand what's going on. Have I been in this situation before? I feel I understand it more than I should do. The picture is definitely becoming clearer. I totally understand and accept the act of death, even when the most precious thing is taken away from you. It's over 7 months since Julie died, and I now totally understand and accept that she's died. But at the same time, I still can't believe she's not with me anymore. I still have those really sad moments. They're quite a regular occurrence, in fact, but I'm getting better at controlling them. That stain of guilt on my favourite item of clothing doesn't look quite as bad, and I don't look it as much nowadays. I'm striving forward. I'm proud of myself. And as I said before, pride is a great thing when controlled and used in the right way. The following day, I drive an hour southwest to the Fairy Pools, a main tourist attraction on the Isle of Skye. Tourist attractions aren't my thing. I like quiet and solitude, hence the reason I don't come to Scotland in summer. The weather isn't great when I get there, and the car park is quite full. I follow the crowds to the trail. It's just what I didn't want. Large crowds and a path that's been constantly trampled upon and turned to mud. The stream that feeds the pools is lively after plenty of rainfall. Even though I'm walking at quite a pace, I feel I'm getting nowhere fast as I'm permanently stopping to take photographs and mini videos of the waterfalls and pools. The further I go, the less tourists I see, until it gets to a point where it's just me and the fast flowing waters. I suddenly find that there's no way I can walk beside the water anymore, so I see no other option than to zigzag across the falls, backwards and forwards across the rocks. This is what I've come here for, a bit of adventure on my own. I finally get to a point where there's no other option but to climb up the rocks between the falls. It's only a few metres high but very slippery. When I reach the top, I find a pool with a waterfall crashing down on it. I turn around and there's not a person to be seen, or a voice to be heard. It's just me and the bubbling of the water. This is my chance. This is what I've been building up to since my first cold water shower. To be able to get in that shallow pool with the waterfall crashing on top of me. The freedom, the feel-good factor. Something I've never done before and wouldn't have in my previous life with Julie, especially at this time of year. Another big tick in my head. If I could describe the feeling sat alone in that pool under a waterfall, the word would be emotional. It really was emotional. The accumulation of obstacles I've had to navigate since Julie became ill, whilst constantly pushing myself emotionally and physically, to finally get to this point was humbling. I'm doing something I originally absolutely dreaded and now I can't wait to do it. The shock of the cold water combined with nature is a match made in heaven. What am I doing sat under a waterfall at the start of April in Skye when originally I was going to visit the capital of Hungary? The paths of life. That's what it is. The paths of life. Open your eyes. Follow your gut and believe in your inner self. Allow yourself to be guided and trust in your instinct. The answers are all there. After returning to the car park, I head southwest towards the coast. I've been told by Helen's husband, Alistair, that there's a Viking canal at the end of the peninsula, as well as the remains of stone houses built by one of the clans. A Viking canal. I've got to see this. I park up at the beach and start walking towards the peninsula. I see so many small waterfalls as I walk, crossing the fast flowing streams as they race downhill towards the sea. The rough path seems never ending as it guides me along the coastline. As I turn around, the view of the Black Cooling Mountains in the distance is a sight to behold. It really is wonderful to see. I don't know how long I've been walking now, must be at least 45 minutes. It's been a tiring trip up to now, not just the hiking, climbing and driving, but the emotional side as well. I don't know where this Viking canal is, but I'm still on the path and I know I've got a good way to go as I'm nowhere near the end of the peninsula. As the path starts a steep ascent, a bird of prey flies from the heather on my right, high into the rock formation to my left. I'm so excited to see it. I start to run up the steep bank of heather and stone towards the rock face, keeping an eye on exactly which crack the bird flew into. I reach the rock face, and though I can't see any sign of the bird, I can hear chirping a metre or so above my head of what sound like chicks. I stand there amazed at what I'm hearing. hoping that the bird will exit the nest again, when in a flash, the most violent hailstorm batters me. I quickly make a retreat down the heather banking towards the path and flat ground. The hail is relentless, I can hardly see where I'm going. As I reach the path, I think to myself, turn right and head back to the car park. Your day is done, you're going to get absolutely soaked, when suddenly, a small bird comes flying over from the sea and lands to my left on the rock that borders the path and the banking. It's just stood there, looking at me, getting battered by the hail. What's it doing? Birds take shelter in a storm. I walk towards it, and as I get near, it flies another 15, 20 metres and lands on another rock by the path, looking at me. I walk towards it, and when I get near, it does the same thing again and flies off onto another rock, turns and looks at me. The hail has stopped now, but it's raining. I can see the water running off its feathers. I keep thinking, what's it doing? It's getting soaked. But I know it wants me to follow him. This keeps continuing for at least 150 metres until I reach the top of the hill. And then the little bird flew off towards the sea. The rain has stopped now, and I'm just stood there watching him. I turn to find him virtually at the end of the path, and in front of me, I can see an open field with a stone wall running across the back of it. I walk onto the field and notice the ruins of what looks like one of the clan buildings far over to my left. So I walk over to the building and look around. The area is a lot larger than I thought it would be, and also very boggy. I scout around for another 15-20 minutes looking for the canal. I don't know when the sun will set, and I've got a good hour's walk back to the car, passing some cliff edges and having to cross some rapid streams. I decide to play it safe and call it a day and come back tomorrow when I have more time. On the long walk back to the car, there's only one thing on my mind. The little bird. There's no disputing it was guiding me. It was telling me, you're nearly there, don't give up. I'll show you the way. I saw the bird and instinctively knew it was there for a reason. Most people would have ignored it and headed back to the car park. That's the difference between me and them. And it doesn't bother me in the slightest what anybody thinks of me. My spiritual door is wide open. I notice and follow the signs. That's my choice. If others ridicule me for it, then fine. That's up to them. I'm not here to persuade anyone. I'm here to advise you to open your mind to the possibilities. Don't allow your mind to be clouded. Rule number two, you must make your own decisions in life without influence. If I hadn't carried on up the hill and found that the path had ended and the fields were there, would I be coming back tomorrow? Probably not. As they say, you've run your race, and there's other places to visit on the island. Now that I know where the fields are, am I going back tomorrow? Damn right I am. I'm going to find that Viking canal, and when I do, I'll have whoever sent that little bird to thank. It's a slow start to the following day. I've slept reasonably well since I arrived on Skye, but I didn't last night, and therefore I had a late and slow start to the morning. Before I leave on my excursions, there's a gas man coming to service the boiler in the cottage, and then I have a Reiki session with Helen. I'm in the shower when the gas man comes. He was a nice chap, probably a few years older than myself. He told me that he hiked with his young grandson. After telling him I'd climbed Glamic the other day and enjoyed the experience, he said, an experience is always better shared. That made me think. Though this trip has been memorable, it'd been even better if I shared it with somebody I cared for. Somebody who'd never seen but would appreciate nature in its wild and rugged beauty. Someone who viewed life like I did. A little later, I had my first Reiki session. I wasn't expecting too much, to be honest, as I'd had so many spiritual signs and had controlled my energies for the best part of 20 years. I couldn't see it being life-changing as it is for some, but I wanted to see if it could bring a new opening spiritually. I went in relaxed and open-minded, more to enjoy the experience, but one thing I was very aware of was the spiritual connection between myself and Helen. There was no disputing that in my eyes. I'd felt that as soon as I'd met her. Helen placed her hands on my head, and I immediately felt her energy flow into me. It was strong and constant. I was surprised by the strength of it. My mind quickly envisioned a heavy mist drifting over a mountain range and then being sucked into a canyon below. I then had a vision of an eagle diving down with both wings open. During the session, I felt ultra relaxed, and afterwards we chatted for an hour or so. I enjoyed the whole experience, but time was getting on now. It was mid-afternoon by the time I set off to find the Viking Canal. En route, while driving on the long semicircular shaped road that borders a large inlet from the sea, a male and female hawk appeared, gliding side by side parallel to the car, looking at each other approximately 5 or 6 meters away. A truly amazing sight, and something I will never forget and doubt I will ever see again in my lifetime. But I was later to find that it wasn't going to be the highlight of the day. Because less than 2 hours later, while searching for the Viking Canal at the end of the peninsula, I had a clear view of an eagle diving down over the sea. It was diving down as it was being harried by 3 other birds. It was close enough that I could clearly see the finger feathers at the end of its wings. It was incredible. The excitement I felt as I ran towards it trying to get a better view was something that I don't think I'd felt since I was a kid. Less than 3 hours after I visualized it during my Reiki session, I see it, in broad daylight, diving down exactly as I'd imagined it. I carried on searching for the canal on the peninsula and eventually stumbled across the remains of a couple of the Magaskill clan buildings. Then in close proximity, I see the remains of the Iron Age fort, and then eventually, I find the Viking Canal. A truly magical day, but something I wasn't expecting to find was the tomb. Apparently the tomb was built by the Mesolithic hunter-gatherers. There's 8,000 years of man-made history at the end of that peninsula, and without the guidance from the little bird, I wouldn't have seen any of it. I was only halfway through my trip, but was the eyeless guy going to open my eyes and lead me to my next port of call in life? Only time will tell.